producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, we just kind of suck our guests into saying that. Chris asked a question, Micah Hanks, a response.
Chris, would you mind kind of restating that question just so we can state it?
Well, basically, we were talking about how there seems to be a parallel between cultural memes and the ebb in science fiction, especially in the ebb and flowing of ufology. And you were likening cases to TV shows and movies in the sci-fi realm. And Ron Away wants to know if there's any paranormal events currently and or recently that are receiving any serious scientific open-minded scrutiny on par with our old favorites, Rendlesham, Roswell, Travis Walton, as he says, that have been done to death.
Excellent. Yeah, and thank you again for restating that question. Now, again, in response to it, at least from my perspective, it's a weird state of affairs right now with regard to UFO research. I will say that I'm not a member of the Mutual UFO Network. That is the current standing and broadest reaching civilian UFO research group. Now, there are other organizations that have absolutely been interested in UFO research, as we've discussed a good bit on this program, and you guys have in the past with James Carrion on the program, especially in relation to the involvement of Robert Bigelow and his organization, which has looked into this over the years. They're a little less forthcoming with some of their data, although there have certainly been public reports been issued on such things as these famous black triangles. Well, actually, I should say, in fairness, really, MUFON, although a public organization and releasing a lot of their case files and whatnot online, there is also a lot that is kept exclusive to MUFON membership and even certain tiers of MUFON membership. We don't have to get all into the nitty-gritty about that, but I do know.
Why don't you be brief about it so listeners understand?
Sure. Best illustrated in example. I have a friend who I've been talking with who is a very good UFO researcher, in my opinion, and he had expressed to me a little bit of dissatisfaction about the fact that he was trying to gain access to particular files related to a case. I'll go ahead and mention the case. It was actually covered very in-depth on this program once. It was the Cash Landrum UFO incident from around Dayton, Texas, back in 1980, which occurred within just a few days of the Rendlesham encounter near Suffolk in England. But the incident in question, there are MUFON files because John Schussler, of course, had been one of the primary investigators of that case at the time. The problem is that the individual who's researching that case, although a member of MUFON, has said he has somewhat seen a bit of stonewalling in terms of trying to get access to certain files. Now, as has been explained to me by different directors, state directors, and members of the organization, of course, it's not necessarily an exclusivity, but it seems to be, I guess, a chain of prioritization. Again, this coming from a non-member, in terms of how those files are accessed and to whom access is given. And I guess any organization to an extent is going to kind of keep those kind of records. But I guess the problem that we face is that many people say if we're really going to come to any kind of scientific consensus about UFOs, coming back to the question that Chris brought to the table, of course, we're generalizing here because on the whole, what I think really UFO research today seems to be doing more of, rather than a close scrutiny of these, wow, incredible Rendlesham or Roswell-esque kind of cases, it seems to be that it's been an accumulation of data on, you know, smaller, lesser significant cases, which certain groups are now trying to take and hopefully utilize for statistical analysis and also coming to determinations of the broader nature of the phenomena. As Jacques Vallée described, who's going to be speaking at the International UFO Congress this February, very excited to hear about that, but Vallée had discussed this on a coast-to-coast interview with George Knapp, during an event that he attended in France sometime, I suppose, last year, in which it is the hope of the international UFO community, the French investigative group GAPAN, I suppose, and others, to try and use data that we have now to come to determination. So I guess as far as cases that are being given that kind of attention, we don't seem to see it as much today, but I guess the broader UFO phenomena, at least internationally, is being treated in terms of collection of data and statistical analysis of that information. We've been seeing it in South America as well.
Yeah. Transparency, I think, is a major issue that's always been a bit of a fly in the ointment with the advent of more transparency, especially, as you mentioned, down in South America. I think if this trend continues, obviously it's going to put more and more pressure on the United States to pony up some information that hasn't been released into the public domain. But I think as more and more of these countries open up their files, it's going to, on one hand, sort of put more pressure on the U.S., and on another hand, it's going to relieve pressure because people are getting something they didn't have before, and that may be a stopgap measure for the U.S. to continue stringing everybody along. Or, conversely, there may be nothing really, you know, I think in total to release to the public. It's all probably compartmentalized and disassociated information. You know, if you release it out of context, it doesn't really go very far. So I really hope that we see an upswelling in support and in awareness of new technologically based efforts into hard data monitoring and true scientific ufology. I think the cultural side of this has really created an artificial sense of what the phenomenon actually is. I really have a sense that, you know, we're talking pop culture here. People are getting their education from the internet, from TV shows about the UFO subject and other paranormal subjects, for that matter. And, you know, it's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, sure, it's opening up the subject matter to a wider variety of people and more people, but I don't really think that the educational process that the pop culture is giving people is accurately reflects the mystery. And I just hope that we don't get to a point where the pop culture version totally subjugates, the real hard work that's being done, I think, scientifically behind the scenes right now.
To an extent, has it done that already? And a question, Chris, that I would have is, I can't read a headline anymore. And I've always complained about this, and I know you guys would agree. You read anything that has to do with a semi-legitimate UFO case, and it'll always kick off with some really just lame, entry, the nut graph, the beginning of the article. It'll be something like, the truth is out there, at least according to one doctor in Montana who believes he has new photos that are proof of alien life. I'm thinking, no. That entire sentence was completely malformed, misshapen. It was terrible. I mean, because, again, first we have to presume, of course, that we're talking about alien life, right? Any proof of anything strange and technological or apparently so in the sky is alien, right? Tell me how that is a logical conclusion that one can come to. Anyway, I think that's a sense of disturbance in the force. Are we coming up on a break here, guys?
A break not come. I'm sorry to sound like Tonto here. Game of Sabi. We not have break come right now. We continue to talk about force disturbance.
Okay, good.
The only disturbance in the force is one of logic.
I just like not to ramble off completely. I think I come on the show enough with you guys that we have our own sense of rhythm and maybe whatever that universal force is, which is one thing I should say. It's really always good to be able to talk with you guys about this. And yet it's sad to me that every time we do get to talk, the three of us, it seems that so many of these problems, are the same issues. And really, I feel maybe will be the same issues for some time to come. You know, like Chris saying, will the actual serious study of strange things seen in the sky, phenomena in our skies, be subjugated by the pop culture, belief that has been kind of associated with it? The more we discuss this, the more important I realize that the serious considerations as it relates to how pop culture influences serious study of strange phenomena, especially the UFO phenomena, it really is becoming more and more important to me. I see because people's attitudes and opinions are often blinded by the kind of pop culture interpretation of, what would contact with alien life be? What would contact with artificial intelligence be like? That one, to me, again, it goes hand in hand with the serious search for extraterrestrial life, because either way, whether it be AI of our own creation or alien life from someplace else, we will eventually, and I do think that this is the truth, I don't know when it'll happen, but one day humankind will, without question, come to a point where we are met with an intelligence that is not our own and which may be greater than human intelligence. It could be AI, could be aliens, but at some point that will happen, and I think that really examination of each of those two is very important, and yet, once again, they're mostly relegated to sci-fi.
Yeah.
That's what makes things so difficult here, the entire question. And I just wonder how we prepare for it. In fact, we had somebody on the show a couple of weeks back who did a book about how to talk to an alien, but it really wasn't more involved than talking a bit about channeling and things like that. it really didn't get into the real subject that much. We've got Micah Hanks, who is getting into real subjects with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
We've had an amazing year here at Supernatural Silver. We've truly enjoyed the fantastic response from thousands of people as they've tried our extraordinary product, and we're thrilled at the life-changing results people have. Our company email is continually full of happy, satisfied customers who thank us for the help they've received from Supernatural Silver. This holiday season, as you think of gifts to give your loved ones, consider giving Supernatural Silver, a gift that can help provide good health and wellness, a gift that can change lives and make a real difference. In a world where we are constantly exposed to dangerous health threats, give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Give Supernatural Silver. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code HOLIDAY2015 for 20% off. And this holiday season, we wish you and yours the blessings of peace and good health from all of us here at SupernaturalSilver.com.
There's one major factor affecting the health of millions, and most people are completely unaware. Acid levels. Soda, meat, dairy, caffeine, and sugar can all lead to elevated acid levels in the body. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops get the body's pH levels back in perfect balance. It's a holistic, natural, and powerful approach that will give you greater health, vitality, and zest for life. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we're here. We're starting off the show, which is being heard on the 3rd of January, 2016. And as of February of this year, we'll have done 10 years of the Paracast. And we'll keep doing it till we get it right. Micah Hanks is here. He's not responding to that.
Oh, no. Yeah, normally I guess I jump in and try to be boisterous, but I will say this, by the way, that's one heck of a milestone. Congratulations. Here's to 10 more good years of fabulous podcasting with one of the shows that I prefer to listen to, and I have the time to listen to podcasts myself.
I'll be very old when it's 10 years from now. Yes, they'll be wheeling me in.
Yeah, but you maintain that youthful quality, as you just exemplified. Actually, it was coinciding with the passing of one of the great icons of yesteryear in ufology, Jim Moseley. When he passed away, I'd contacted Eugene and said, Gene, could you come on and come on the Gray Alien Report and give a statement coming from someone who knew Jim pretty well. And I remember as we were getting ready to record, he said, all right, as they would say in wrestling, let's get ready to rumble. So you do have that youthful character to you, sir. I'm sure in 10 years you'll still be going strong and bringing brilliant points to this sort of discussion.
Sort of discussion. We're going to rock and roll. Or as I say it sometimes, we're going to rock and roll.
See,
now, the problem with that voice, it's kind of like making funny faces. My mother used to say, if you keep making funny faces, your face will stick that way. And I think of nowadays Jim Carrey. His face didn't change. So if you force the voice too much.
You don't want to look like Wolfman Jack because that would be really scary.
I just like the money he had before he died. That's all.
Well, here's an interesting question for Mike. And this kind of goes into a retrospective look back at 2015. But Sue, who's been a poster since 2013 at forum.theparacast.com, has posted in the question bank for you. What do you think are the most important theoretical and research trends in ufology and paranormalology? I've never heard that term before, from 2015. And what should our goals be for 2016? And she goes, she has a couple of follow-up questions after we handle those.
Okay, well, since she said I would prefer maybe phenomenology to paranormalology, but by the same token, if I say phenomenology, I had someone try and actually point out that I misused that term on one occasion a few years back. He was, studying for his bachelor's degree. When I outlined the eight or so different terminological usage or ways that term could be used, he then asked if I would actually be willing to give an interview so that he could cite me as a source for the paper he was writing. So I nonetheless maintain that phenomenology, apart from its relevance to such things as philosophy, it would certainly apply to the study of phenomena, as we're discussing here. So, and since we're talking about that, rather than a ufological innovation or breakthrough or science being applied to that subject, one subject that was really important and interesting to me this year, which did see a lot of science put to it, was the search for anomalous primates, more specifically Bigfoot, Yeti, the Sasquatch. And that was Brian Sykes' DNA analysis, which was extremely controversial. It really was. It was, I think, in some ways unnecessarily so, because if we have enough anecdotal data coming from people in all parts of the world that say that they've seen upright walking, humanoid, but far more, I guess, I don't want to necessarily always say beastly, because I don't think that's always the case, especially with the Almaty and the Urals of Russia. Certain quote-unquote anomalous primates are less like great big hairy monsters, and they act a lot more like simply pre-modern humans, which are naturally they're going to be a little more primitive than what we call modern humans today, but nonetheless they are probably more human also than the typical Bigfoot or Sasquatch, according to eyewitness reports. So that said, dealing with apparently a variety of different phenomena around the world that fall under that categorization of anomalous primates, I don't see why, with all the anecdotal evidence that has been forthcoming, witness reports, why science wouldn't step in and say, okay, well, maybe it is time we should start looking at this. Now, the staunch and renowned skeptic P.Z. Myers had been one of many who on his blog had attacked Brian Sykes, not only for the study, but for fudging certain results. Part of the result had been that while no anomalous primate evidence in DNA analysis of some 30 samples, I believe, or so, had been found, they did find what they had believed to be evidence of a 400,000-year-old variety of polar bear thought to be extinct. Now, subsequent independent analyses of those samples found dissimilar results, and they felt that it was less likely that Sykes had been correct in his determination about this polar bear. It had been possible that the DNA sample had had suffered from degradation over a period of approximately one decade, and that this could have been the result of the underlying cause for the misinterpretation of the results by Sykes and his team. But, you know, Sykes is no slouch, and he's certainly no fool. I think he was one of the first to actually conduct a study of and author a paper that had to do with the DNA extraction from ancient bone. He, of course, being, you know, a former fellow of Oxford University, I mean, I believe, well, I guess he may still be a fellow. I think he's formerly of Oxford. But Sykes, again, was doing what I had hoped good scientists would eventually do, which was, okay, if we see enough alleged evidence, anecdotal evidence, I suppose, you know, in terms of alleged encounters people have had with Bigfoot, I mean, are all of these people lying? And if we are at least to suspend disbelief long enough to say maybe they are not, then what can science do with proper laboratory procedure and good science applied to this? What can science do to help try and make a determination about this? Now, it was rather revealing that there was no evidence of anomalous primates found. That doesn't necessarily mean that it never will be found, and that's what Sykes said, and part of the reason for ridicule by P.Z. Myers and others. They think this guy is nuts, primarily just for even entertaining the idea that, hey, maybe there's something worthy of scientific study here. But all phenomena at the outset began as unexplained phenomena. And I don't think that we've closed the door on Bigfoot. It was good, though there were no results forthcoming that were positive, I guess, in the sense of trying to prove something exists. It was great to see science taking a step toward trying to seriously study the anomalous primate problem.
Yeah. The thing that always bothers me about all this is that we always get to a certain point, and that's it. We can go no further. So with Bigfoot, where's the DNA? With UFOs, well, we have some possible trace evidence. We have the photographs. We have all this. But we just can't go to that next level. We're always at the stopping point. And I wonder sometimes when I think about this, is that stopping point our inability to understand or something that's deliberate?
That's a good question. It's interesting to me that we have people all over the world that report seeing a creature like Bigfoot, something that is very similar to being a human, which I think really fundamentally is the reason why it's so difficult to believe. If we were seeing something that was far more monstrous and less anthropomorphic in its general shape and behavior, I think it would be far easier for people in some ways to say, okay, this is clearly not a person in a suit. It's the fact that Bigfoot so closely resembles humans, if it exists, that it makes it very difficult to distinguish it from being a person in a suit, you know, although many would say that it's quite obviously not that when they've been those on the receiving end of the actual observation. When they've actually seen this creature in these anecdotal reports, they say it's much larger, the arms are much longer, it's proportionally very different in terms of its build from a human, but still nonetheless fairly anthropomorphic. And I think that this is a big problem in terms of coming to a good determination about what other than a human it could be.
Micah Hanks is with us. We're trying to make sense of something, and maybe we will before it's all over. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed.
Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Waller, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas. The attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let's make sense of this. Please go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Check out the Paracast Plus. You get the ad-free version of this show, the After the Paracast wrap-up show. We've got show transcripts. That video, we're trying to do the final work on it. It's not so easy, as Chris has explained in After the Paracast, but we'll get there, we'll get it done, and it's going to work. Plus.theparacast.com. We're giving free ebooks away for long-term subscriptions. Plus.theparacast.com. From the Graylian Report, we've got Micah Hanks. And I was mentioning, and he started a brief comment, about the inability to go to the next level with paranormal research. And one of the arguments you make here is that for UFOs, for example, we're still repeating the theories from the 1950s. From the book Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe, the first book I read on the subject, it doesn't seem, except for a small number of people, we've gone much further, have we?
No, not really. And we, in similar fashion, note the inability to come to terms with something apart from being a human phenomena fueling Bigfoot belief just as well. But I'll point out that when we look out further into the cosmos, it's interesting to me that we have a lot of anecdotal evidence. In many instances, we also have film and video, which it may not offer a conclusive form of proof or data, but it certainly seems to keep the pot stirred, so to speak, in terms of what may or may not exist out there, which we haven't yet quite come to terms with. But in science, we're often dealing with and grappling with things that are not only unseen and absolutely, I mean, in the most literal sense, invisible phenomena, but also things which are fairly speculative in nature. You know, as we presume our universe, we don't presume, we actually know, thanks to things like redshift and our ability to be able to observe the actual rate of speed at which other, you know, distant galaxies and planetary bodies and things like that are moving further and further away from us, farther out in space, outside our solar system and whatnot. We can see out into space, and we know that as a result of this expansion of the universe that things are changing with time. And yet, of course, there should also be quantifiable matter which prevents the universe from essentially falling apart, for which we have to bring into question such things as dark matter and the like. And there are different theories about the universe. And part of the reason for this is because we don't have any single, I hate that term, grand unifying theory, but really this is what science aims to achieve in terms of physics and cosmology, astronomy, and everything. We do hope to try and come to a determination where we have a good scientific principle that not only does it simply explain and answer a number of observable phenomena, but it will also be capable of accurately predicting future things that we will learn about the universe. And we're, I think, a good ways from coming to kind of a unifying theory of the universe, but we have a number of partial theories that help us observe certain things. For instance, relativity is good up until, of course, not only quantum theory, but also up until we get to the point of the Big Bang. Presumably there was a Big Bang. That singularity that existed at the outset of the universe was such that it actually, or the laws put forth by Einstein in general relativity, they do break down at that singularity, mathematical terminology for essentially a point where, again, we have to essentially bring a new model because our theories no longer apply once we reach that area. So with the paranormal, we kind of, and I've used this term, yes, singularity in relation to the UFO phenomenon just as well, because to an extent, I guess, with the data at our disposal, we have a lot of theories about UFOs. I think we have a lot of partial theories, but I don't think that we seem to have any kind of a unifying theory that really gives us any kind of a good scientific estimation of what exactly UFOs may be. And whatever the technology seems to be, still seems to, in some instances, extend well beyond, our ability to understand. Ray Kurzweil has employed this term singularity in relation to artificial intelligence, once again citing that continuum that exists between these two phenomena, which I've always kind of thought about ever since I began to seriously look at UFOs and artificial intelligence separately. I thought these two phenomena in many ways in terms of a potential intelligence or technology further beyond our own, that we are right now in almost kind of parallel paths, we are kind of seeking to kind of grapple with and understand and moving maybe ever closer toward a fundamental reckoning with those phenomena. You know, these kind of things certainly face us in the paranormal as well as further out there in terms of physics and the universe. I spend a lot more time these days reading about astronomy and physics and also the history of science, looking at where we came from. And when you study history of science, probably my favorite study of them all, apart from philosophy, you go, although they work hand in hand with one another, the further you go back, the more you realize that there have been periods in time where the scientists of yesteryear, they came to good determinations. Of course, probably the single most significant of the last several hundred years had been, of course, Isaac Newton, in terms of scientists who brought unifying visions of the universe together with his theories. And although much of that was upset and offset by Einstein with general relativity, there are still certain ways that Newtonian physics apply and are simple and useful in working with what we have to deal with in the universe around us. I wish, and I think that this is where science has not failed, but perhaps investigators of the unexplained have somewhat failed. I wish that we could actually try to look at these phenomena, and rather than leaping to these conclusions, I won't call them insane because I don't think that they are, but really they aren't perhaps supported by really good evidence, i.e. UFOs are alien. I mean, they may be, but then we've got Jacques Vallée who has said, you know, all the evidence seems to point to being something else and therefore must be interdimensional. But how do we quantify something interdimensional? He may not, you know, explicitly infer that it's interdimensional phenomena, but I think that that's one interpretation of the body of Vallée's work. Then there's, of course, this idea that we're dealing with some sort of a, you know, secret government. This breakaway civilization concept has become more and more popular in recent years as it relates to UFOs, that term coined by Richard Dolan. And I think that a skeptic friend of mine pointed out to me just a few weeks ago that the important thing about science is that it's not about just maintaining a consensus opinion and just being, you know, a sheeple and just, you know, agreeing with everything that, you know, Stephen Hawking or whoever else writes. It's important, though, that scientists reach certain consensus based on the probability and the likelihood. And with the UFO phenomena, we seem to still be grappling with a lot of different potentials. We haven't really come to some sort of a consensus that the ufological community on the whole would say, this seems to be the most likely thing that we're dealing with. And I think if we really want to move forward with paranormal phenomena and the study of it, it would really help to kind of get to a point where we can say, okay, what is a UFO most likely? What is Bigfoot most likely? And from there, how can we proceed scientifically in terms of study?
Well, a lot of people in the UFO field say UFOs are most likely spaceships. That's been a prevailing theory for so many years.
Yeah, but whose spaceships? I mean, we can say that they're spaceships. That seems to infer alien, I know. But again, that may be a prevailing theory, but what is the evidence that really supports the existence of alien life piloting spaceships, you know, coming into our atmosphere? Could any kind of an here's a good point I'd like to make with this. We can look out there, our astronomers, our cosmologists, you know, our physicists, they're so troubled by the fact that we can't seem to find any good evidence out there of alien life. Now, the UFO researcher would say, ah, but it's right here. It's under your nose, physicist. You're looking in the wrong place. It's right here. But if we're talking about phenomena that's occurring mostly here on Earth and that all the observational data comes from Earth's skies, you know, barring some theories about what astronauts may see from time to time up there, which is still in, you know, Earth orbit, you know, if we're seeing all this phenomena occurring right here around Earth and yet there seems to be this, again, great silence everywhere else in the universe, why is it that we presume what we're dealing with is something that is from elsewhere? What evidence do we have that we're seeing this come from someplace else? I don't think that's an unfair question.
You know, this is very interesting. Let me just mention this. It was an article from Ray Palmer back in the 60s. He edited Flying Saucers magazine. We know, of course, his connection with the Shaver mystery, being the promoter, the co-founder of Fate magazine. And by the way, he's also the name of a comic book character, the character that Brandon Routh plays in Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow and Flash. Ray Palmer, that character for the comic book figure Atom, A-T-O-M, with periods after each letter, was named after the real Ray Palmer by the person who created that character. So there we go. Okay, Palmer did an article that Ray Palmer were talking about, the real person, the sci-fi writer and the paranormal writer, about whether on other planets they see UFOs too. And it was part of his theory that UFOs were a phenomenon intrinsic to the Earth, and therefore if you lived on another planet, maybe you have your own kind of UFOs there. Let's go into more of that and more. And more listener questions of Micah Hanks with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, I raised this left-field question about what Ray Palmer said so many years ago. So if, just as a theory, if UFOs are native to Earth in some way, breakaway civilization, whatever, would that mean that beings living on other planets have their own UFOs to deal with?
That's a great question. I think
that's been impossible to answer.
It is.
I know that, but it's fun to think about.
Well, it is fun to think about, and it's important. You know, here's the interesting thing. It brings it back to sci-fi in that sense. Of course, Ray Palmer's belief in what UFOs may or may not have been incredibly fueled by science fiction. I mean, for Pete's sake, this guy was editor of Amazing Stories. You know, he goes on to found a magazine that purportedly dealt with this phenomena in a real world way, and not just in the sense of the phenomena of science fiction. Fate, of course, being that magazine. But when we look at the way that science fiction kind of fuels interest in these sorts of things, I mean, yeah, Ray Palmer was certainly no exception. And on that note, science fiction has, in a speculative sense, in the fun that we have with it, it often has also fueled innovation. You know, Arthur C. Clarke, I think, in his works, predicted the creation of numerous things. Of course, we know famously the telecommunications satellite, but we also see in Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey there on the Clavius moon base, the conversation with the gentleman's daughter where she requests a bush baby as a gift. And we're basically seeing Skype right there. So it is interesting because we do see a lot of technology that maybe one would say are inevitable. But by the same token, they appear in sci-fi usually a few decades before they actually come to fruition in the real world. Now, it is interesting to me that Palmer's interest in UFOs was fueled by the science fiction and what, at least according to some, was maybe in that twilight realm that kind of exists between fact and fiction. Coming back to Richard Sharp Shaver and his submission to Palmer of a manuscript, I think it was called a Warning to Future Humankind, but when it was revamped and reloaded for publication, Palmer recalled it, I Remember Lemuria. And this was, of course, what began the very popular at the time, Shaver Mystery, which did deal with these Darrows, the detrimental robots, and then the Taros, this warring faction between good and evil that was occurring where? Underground, yes, in the Hollow Earth. Mankind has a long history of interest with the Hollow Earth, and with the belief that there were entrances to the Hollow Earth located perhaps in the polar extremities of our planet, and that they could be entered, and traversed, and that presumably, therefore, maybe they were inhabited just as well. Whether or not this was an idea that just, Shaver came upon, or if he had been influenced by something else, he seems to interpret, mentally unstable though he was, there to be some truth to his belief in there being beings existing underground. And I think that he stated pretty explicitly in the years afterward, Ray Palmer, having spent time with Shaver, having gone to visit with him, you know, stayed there with him at his house, I think Palmer was pretty convinced that the answer to the UFO phenomena lay in some of Shaver's theories. And yet, by the same token, as credulous as that idea may seem, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. Because, A, first of all, George Adamski's book that would later become, what was the title of the book? Was it called, it wasn't Behind the Flying Saucers, was it? The one that was co-authored with Desmond Leslie?
The Flying Saucers Have Landed.
That's the one. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Palmer said that that manuscript had been submitted to him at Amazing Stories years beforehand, and that after the flying saucer craze broke, that he changed, I believe the character's name was Orthon, I think, and the flying saucer that he lands in. And it had initially just been a more kind of a generic spaceship, and it had been Jesus Christ himself piloting it in the manuscript, the pre-saucer era manuscript, mind you, that was sent to Ray Palmer. And he talked about that on the Long John Nebel radio show. There's a recording of that interview that can be found on YouTube today. You know, Palmer had said, I always have doubted George Adamski. I don't believe his stories at all, and here's why. Which is pretty interesting, because he absolutely believed, for some reason, in Shaver and Shaver's stories. Nonetheless, it led Palmer to the conclusion that UFOs, whatever they may be, were probably not interplanetary. It was this strange kind of cult of ideology, you know, between the idea of something from within the Earth and something from outside the Earth, the Adamskis versus the Shavers. And Palmer very much went, you know, in the direction of Shaver and the idea of whatever these things are, the answer to the UFO phenomena will be found here on Terra Firma. Kind of interesting.
Well, of course, we can follow the legends of the holes of the poles back even to Edgar Rice Burroughs, some of his earlier sci-fi stories. Even at the time he was writing Tarzan, he was also writing John Carter of Mars, the Pellucidar stories, which involved going through the inner Earth. So this is something that was not unusual. And when Palmer started talking about it, I thought of Edgar Rice Burroughs. And, of course, Palmer knew Edgar Rice Burroughs and was responsible for persuading Burroughs to write some of his final stories for Amazing Stories magazine.
You have Jules Verne as well, Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Sure.
Yeah. Again, there are a lot of these. I mean, you know, some would take it all the way back to Dante, although that was obviously a much more kind of a metaphysical interpretation. Nonetheless, there is still the difference between ascending into the sky and then descending down into the earth.
But that also leads you to the connection of another civilization here. Therefore, it's in the same framework as a breakaway civilization.
Right. You know, again, a breakaway civilization, I think by definition, I think Richard Dolan, when he first put that idea forward, it certainly was fueled by the idea that there have been, you know, special programs, privately or secretly funded in some way, whether that be through black budgets or, again, the idea that there may be, and it's funny because I often hear people say, well, what kind of a group? What kind of anybody would have that kind of funding? You know, what kind of an extra governmental group would have enough money to be able to fund something so large? But I wouldn't rule that possibility out in the least. And, you know, there have been a number of interesting proponents of the possible funding mechanisms underlying a so-called breakaway civilization, which is kind of, despite her background, I guess, in business and finance, it's kind of brought character known as, I shouldn't say character, I have a lot of respect for this individual, but Catherine Austin Fitz. She, again, doesn't seem to come at this from a UFO angle. She's not a popular UFO author. She wrote an article a number of years ago called What's Up with the Black Budget, and in that article claimed that, you know, a friend of hers who had been a high-ranking military official at one point had asked her, I think, to be on a panel that would be looking at, you know, what and how to deal with a UFO issue were one to arise here in the future if aliens were to touch down. And she kind of asked, why would we be putting, you know, interest into something like this? And she was given the impression by those who had invited her to be a part of this panel that this would be something that would potentially be of very, very serious importance in the coming years. And then was asked famously, would you like to meet some aliens? And she declined at the time. It's interesting because now I'm seeing that a lot of people actually cite Catherine Austin Fitz, and she's made appearances at different events related to the idea of a breakaway civilization. And more and more people who are not directly related to the UFO field of study, ufology as it were, are kind of finding their way into it because there do seem to be parallels that emerge. Joseph Farrell is one. Peter Lavenda, who I spoke with recently, and a fascinating guy. Most of his research has to do with the Nazi occult mythos, but he actually reached out to me a while back because I was looking at some of these, you know, stories from Latin American countries especially that have to do with UFOs. He had been to Chile in the 1970s and had actually visited a place in 1979 called Colonia Dignidad. And it's one of many instances where we see evidence of Nazis having escaped to South America. There are some, you know, threads that seem to suggest that there are technological components to some of that. And I think that this kind of area of thought, I know Joseph Farrell has even written in his books, although he brings up things that are very closely related to UFOs. Farrell told me a few years ago, UFOs aren't a primary interest of him, but he, to an extent, has almost had to get involved in certain areas of UFO research because of, he said, their relation to other things that he is interested in, which primarily has to do with, you know, black budget funding and financial streams maybe coming from behind the scenes. Some of this he actually ties back to the Nazis and post-World War II operations that some of them may have been involved with. So, you know, whatever it is, this ongoing, you know, some of it really good, serious, hard historical research, some of it certainly kind of steeped in speculation and whatnot, but these kind of researchers coming together, whether independently or conversing amidst themselves or maybe just, you know, their works coming to the attention of people like us who read these kind of books and are multifaceted in our interests, this notion of a breakaway civilization, and generally, as Richard Dolan, I think, intended it, one with a, some sort of an advanced technological component, has become, I think, one of the more popular motifs that is presented in the study of UFOs in the modern era. So I don't know, maybe people are kind of coming around to the idea that whatever the UFO phenomena is, maybe it's nothing so far out and spacey, maybe it is from right here, although many proponents of a breakaway civilization maintain nonetheless that the technologies driving this civilization actually probably were captured technologies, i.e. Roswell, you know, wherever. So, you know, the idea of some sort of crash retrieval and back engineering, Bob Lazar kind of stuff. So, you know, it's really kind of interesting because the various ufological mythos that have been presented over the years, they kind of tend to overlap at times. They really do.
We'll get into more breakaway civilizations, your questions, and maybe some of the false trails of 2015. I can think of a subject that shall not be named. Mike, I think, knows what we're talking about. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TECHNIGHTOWL for a special discount.
Chronic inflammation is now known to block your ability to repair and compromises your immune system, making you more vulnerable to all diseases. Since poor diet, injuries, or stress are all contributing factors, many people suffer from inflammation. Your body's number one means of neutralizing inflammation and the pain that it may be causing is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's number one peptide to neutralize free radicals and thus stop inflammation.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm 44 years old. For 10 years, I had been suffering from chronic pain in my abdomen and groin that radiated down into my feet. After 3 weeks on One World Way, the pain in my feet reduced by 50%, and the overall pain in my body reduced significantly as well. I ran out of One World Way and the pain returned. I got another container, and again, after 3 weeks, the pain reduced significantly throughout my body. I'd highly recommend One World Way to anyone dealing with chronic pain due to inflammation.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.